This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to the Help My Unbelief podcast, the number one Christian podcast designed for the unbeliever. Hey guys,
how are you doing today, Zach? Hey, Mark's back.
Yay! Mark's back.
We missed you last week, brother.
Episode 60. Norn?
64.
Okay, so we're going to...
Isn't that how old you are?
Yo, you're 64? Sheesh.
I am 61.
Let me
Thank
see
you, Angela.
Let me see something real quick.
Slapped. Pin clicker.
How about that? Huh?
I had to. I'm
sorry. Wow.
All right. So we're going to get right into our segment. Mark, will you explain the first segment to us? We're going to have segments and stuff now. You guys know that. Mark, what's this about today?
Well, this is kind of a continuation of last week was open mic. And this week is open mic, but I have a subject. You know, sometimes we're going to have subjects. And I just thought about, you know, I was thinking about a lot of the comments that I've heard from pagans. And I can't tell you what flavor, but is that Christianity is a danger to society. It's to the world. You know, people are quoted, you know, I hear people talking about, you know, what was it? They burned people in oil. Oh my goodness!
I thought that was John that got boiled in oil.
No,
it wasn't by Christians. It was.
You mean
by
like the Salem witch trials and stuff like that?
No, give me a second. You're gonna have to make an edit here. Good grief. Okay, I want to start that again. Sorry, guys. Okay, so we're going to restart. Okay, so basically, this is an opportunity to that we call open mic section or open mic night, and so my idea was just I remember being young and thinking that Christians wanted to control me, and I've heard other pagans voice that, you know, that Christianity is dangerous, that, you know. People die because of the zealotry of Christians. You know, I see it in when I turn on the news that, Christian white national and abortion, you know, anti-abortion people want to take away women's rights, that basically we want to take a set of rules and enforce them upon you and force you to abide by them. And, you know, I remember being younger and kind of believing that, you know, especially when I looked at all the different denominations there were, you know, it was like Baptists believe this, Seventh-day Adventists believe this, Methodists believe this, Catholics believe this. And it all seemed like elements of control. We define ourselves by we do these set of things. And if you don't do those set of things, you're off the island, right? And so, you know, I kind of just wanted to talk about, but I've seen a shift. I've seen some things change in like this generation. It's really weird. I've watched churches spring up that they say we're non-denominational. They don't have any rules. All they've got is what are the words of Jesus, right?
So your question is, do you think Christianity, now here's a caveat to the question. Are you asking this? Let me ask you this. Because what I hear a lot of is people saying that Christianity was designed to control people. Like it was designed to control people. But that's not what you're really asking here. Are you asking, are Christians today wanting to control the world or control the people? Yeah. Is that what you're asking?
I mean, is it in our heart? Is it in our heart to control others?
Yeah.
And I just, my situation is I don't have any desire to control anybody. In fact, it seems like there's an element of society today that wants to control me. In other words, I want to live in a delusion. I'm going to force you to agree with my delusion and not speak up against my delusion. And if you don't, I'll take your job. I'll call you a bigot, call you a racist, call you whatever to silence you. That seems dangerous and forceful. I just don't have it in my heart to force my opinion or even God's will on anybody. I just want to exist. I just want to coexist. You know the bumper sticker, coexist, with all the different symbols?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, that's what Christianity, that's what's in my heart. I just want to be able to coexist. You allow me to be me. The Bible says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It doesn't say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, and we will go and kill all of you and put you in chains and make you serve him too. It just says, as for me and my house, that's my choice. So yeah. I'm just wondering what you guys think about whether Christianity wants to control people, the world.
The first Christians. Question is, what is your definition of Christianity?
Right.
Because, I mean, I was raised Pentecostal, and some of the beliefs that I have of Christianity was really a blurred line between the different denominations that are out there. I mean, some of them are so far, and here's a term that I don't know if it applies or not, but they're so far to the left of Christianity, but they're all lumped together as Christianity. To me, the definition, the true definition of Christianity is a Christ follower. That means that everything I do, everything I say, everything that I want to portray would be Christ-like. Now, there are some denominations out there that I disagree with completely. There are also some particular churches and sects of different denominations out there that I don't understand how they could even consider themselves Christianity or Christ followers. I mean, I'll leave the word Christianity completely out of it because it's become so blurred that it's like love. You know, God is love. Love is God. Mm-hmm. Love comes from God. You can't even love without God, mm-hmm. period. But we have dumbed down that word, we as in the human language, no matter what actual language it is, has dumbed down that word so much that it has lost its effect. So when I say I love my wife and I love my car, do you hear the difference between those two?
Right.
There should be a definite difference between that. I like my car. It gets me back and forth to work. Actually, it's a truck. But I love my wife with everything that is in me. And the only thing I love more than my wife is God. And that's because I am a Christ follower. I seek after God. I seek after his love. And therefore, his love is in me, and I can share it with others. Now, I cannot say that I love you if I'm condemning you. Now, if I convict you as a brother in love, and I'm correcting you just like you corrected your daughters, or you don't have sons, do you?
Mm-hmm.
You have sons? Okay. I only had daughters, so I see everybody else only having daughters. I don't know how all these guys got here. Mm-hmm. But if you're correcting them in love, you're doing that for their good, right?
Right.
And it's spiritually the same way. If I have had the privilege of being a facilitator in two different men's groups. And there are a lot of times that I feel that I may overstep my boundaries sometimes.
Yeah.
When I'm talking with them, because the different level of passion that I have for Christ versus that what they have for Christ, or they just came in and are just now learning to walk with the Lord. And
you know how many times someone told me something that came up to me, and that's why you can tell I love you. I defend you every time, man. There's people that's come up to me that where you've offended them or something, and I say, the way that you're taking this is not how Larry meant that. Larry's heart is to for you to get better. God, like, you know how many times Larry's blown up my phone because I wasn't at church at the right time that he thought I was and stuff like that. And like, how can you get pissed off at that? Like, right. You come to church because you want these types of relationships. And then when you get a guy that busts in your door, you're going to be mad at it. Like, this is what you come for. You come for people to hold you accountable. This is what you come for. Is it as annoying as hell sometimes? Yeah, it is. But this is what it's for. That's
an interesting phrase.
Larry,
annoying as hell. Because yeah. I'm going to tell you, brother.
It's more than annoying.
Hell is not, yeah. not any comparison to what I can do.
But he...
The other way. I mean, like,
heart. Okay. His heart is there for you to grow. It's not anything that he doesn't want to, like, make you mad or annoy you or anything. Now, I'd like to say something on this. Like, when I'm sitting here thinking about it, like... Like the question was kind of weird to me at first when you hit it. Like, I'm like, well, this sounds like, it sounds like there's a negative connotation behind it. It almost seems like there's like this right versus left connotation in there. And I'm like, it just makes me feel kind of icky.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think about it and I pose a question myself. What was Christianity designed to do? Because based on what we follow it, it's the truth, right?
Right.
What when Christ created Peter and he sent off and he built his church, what was that designed to do?
To free people.
Free people from the law, right? He didn't come to
save the world.
Yeah. 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 So that's what I think Christianity is designed to do. That's what I don't think Christianity wants to control anybody. I think it's the spreading of the truth. That's what I think it is.
I wonder, because I have it. It sounds like none of us in our heart have it to control another human being.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if perhaps on both sides, a small minority, vocal minority of people that aren't quite well on either end. And when you say left, right, just whatever spectrum it is, I think we've gotten to a point in society where people are silencing each other.
Yeah.
You must believe the way I believe. If you don't, I'm going to cancel you.
Christians do that to me. I was talking to you before the show. It happened to me today. Right. I posted a video today. Did you see that video? Like, I posted a video today that a guy with a couple hundred thousand followers, he posted. He said, hey, he said, you're starting to kind of depart from the mission here, bro. And I can't get behind this anymore. And he's like one of my friends, but like, I knew that when we started this ministry, I knew I had to make a deal with myself because I started to see how kind of weird this thing was getting. And I knew that this was going to be a different ministry than what most Christians were going to do. Right. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was I had to make a deal with myself and God that, hey, as long as I'm following you and I'm doing what you want me to do, I will do this thing from a closet in my room. I don't care if every Christian I know departs and decides not to agree with what I do. Literally every Christian I know, if they do it, I will still do this. Why? Because this show is not for Christians. And I will say that over and over again. This show is meant for unbelievers. And I posted that video. I posted a long video about how, you know, he's trying to control me into believing exactly the way he does, and I better fall in line with his ministry, or he's going to hold a gun up against my head and say, I'm not going to be your friend anymore.
Do you know? Do you think that hell is the Christian version of a pistol?
No. I don't want to talk about the hell thing.
Can I share that the Holy Spirit has a sense of humor?
Yes.
Okay. I was flipping through the Bible when you were talking about me and about defending me. Galatians 1:10. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be a Christ servant.
I love
that. Yeah. Amen. Right. Yeah.
I mean, listen, if you get offended by my words, okay.
And that's kind of what I just said, too. Okay. Like, yeah. I'm not here to please Christians.
Because
like,
being offended is your choice. Whether I meant to offend you or not, taking offense in something that I've said or another pastor said or yeah. even just a person, whether or not they be atheist or they don't believe in the same way you do or whatever, that's your choice to take offense.
Yeah.
And I don't let the spirit of offense reside in me.
Yeah.
Period.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't. And like I said, I don't always agree. I don't agree with how you approach things sometimes and stuff like that. But I wouldn't dare change you because I think God made you a certain way for a reason. I think God made us different for a reason.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Definitely tell that God paired us together.
Yeah.
So that I would have guidance and I would have control.
Yeah.
An understanding in a different format than I am. Yeah. I am the old guy here.
You don't think I got to control myself with you too?
You have to.
I didn't throw something at you last week, did I?
No. No, somebody else asked me if you did. Apparently you were trying to give me a warning on time or something and it looked like you threw something. I don't know.
Because I was going to say, man, that's super uncalled for if I did, and I'm sorry.
We're talking about you and me. We got a relationship that goes beyond this room.
I don't think physically throwing something at you is the answer, though. That's for sure.
I don't know.
I know at one point, I know I waved the flag at you to tell you, hey, no more debating thing.
I wasn't trying to debate. I really, honestly,
that
was not
my
intent.
Are you
going to
seriously debate about not debating right now?
I would not debate about debating. I didn't feel that I was going there. But I do think that I jumped to the defense, which, why wouldn't I?
So to answer your question in finality, do Christians want to control you? I think some of them do, but I think some Christians want to control me. I think some Christians want to control you. I think some atheists want to control some atheists. I think some atheists want to control some Christians. I think some Buddhists want to control some Hinduisms.
I love that. So I heard a great quote by Frank Herbert that wrote the Dune series. It says, power doesn't corrupt. Power attracts the easily corruptible.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like the more influence you begin to have, the more you attack your adversaries, who you view as an adversary. I mean, we look at television, everything, it's pitting one group against the other. This group wants to take away your social security. This group wants to, you know, take away your right to have an abortion. And it's none of that seems to be true.
Yeah.
And like they'd want to take away our country? Is that what you're talking about?
Right. I mean, I mean,
that's what they're trying to do now.
I think what Jesus said was a prime example of, like, you know, when they said that Jesus was casting out demons, but he was a demon. And he said, what are you talking about?
House divided can't.
He's like, what are you talking about? Like, if I'm casting out my own kind, a house divided could never stand. So he's trying to show you how a proper kingdom or a faction operates. And what that means is, if you're divided in yourself, your house will eventually crumble.
Very much
and
so.
That stands for Christianity as well.
Yes.
Right.
If you guys think you can come in and be that divided, that's why, like, when I see my friend that, and what was funny about it, when he said that, I was like, we haven't changed. Our mission has not changed. Have you even watched our show? Or you finally just saw something you didn't agree with? Oh, guess what, buddy? You didn't agree with us the whole time then. You just didn't watch enough to care. Right. And if that's the case, then you're a year late. We could have been doing this little squabble thing, or you could have bounced out my life a year ago. Because I'm telling you, and I'll say it here, every single Christian that exists in the world, if you don't agree with this mission, this show isn't for you. Mm-hmm. This show is for the unbeliever, and that will continue to be that case. So if you don't like my show and you're a Christian, that's because it's not for you. Bye.
Yeah.
Girl, bye.
I just don't
Girl,
have.
Bye.
He gets fired up. Yeah. I mean, I just don't have it in my heart to control anybody. You know?
I think
that's
if
what the Holy Spirit's for.
I think if Christianity was designed to control people, that'd be a different story, but it just.
If you read the Bible, it's not.
Mm-mm.
I mean.
It's to bring freedom.
Yeah, it's to bring freedom. And, you know, we have the power of choice. Through that freedom, we choose to to minimize the flesh, to be bound by God's rules.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that we're coming and slapping chains on you and demanding that that you submit.
Nope.
I just think
if you're a person that searching for a relationship with God, I think you should join the fight with me, because let's say you're a person of the LGBTQ community and you decide that you think you want to be interested in a relationship with God. I'm only going to ask you to join the fight with me, because I'm going to be over here fighting the same fight as you, trying to stop doing things that I feel like I need to stop doing. I've got a log to pull out of my eye. And so join the fight with me, because that's what we're both going to be doing, is we're both going to be fighting with things of spiritual nature, not of personal nature, things of spiritual nature. So you fight your fight, I'll fight mine. If I can help you, I'll help you. I'll be your brother, I'll be your sister. And then if you can help me, I'm sure there's ways you can help me, and we'll go in that direction. But as far as that goes, like, I just don't, I don't think, no matter what community or faction you're a part of, if you're a Christian, we're brothers and sisters, and we're doing this dang thing together. And a house divided in itself cannot stand.
Cannot stand, that's right.
So I think we should stop this bull crap and we should grow up. Brian.
That being said, bam, that's a mic drop. That being said, ding, 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 let's get ready to rumble.
Are you ready for this?
Wow. That was really good. I mean, it was like I was there.
So, yeah.
So, that being said, what that is, it's time for the guest introduction.
Oh, we're already ready for the guest, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. This week we have Lucy. And Lucy is an atheistic Satanist. She is part of the Satanic Temple. She does not believe that Satan's a real thing, but you guys have seen atheistic Satanists, so I don't have to explain it, but we're going to let her explain it.
Good, because it always confuses me.
So there's Larry being rude to the guests and before they even got on there. That's great.
It wasn't.
Your beliefs confuse me, even though I've heard about it 75 times. Okay, hold on. Here's Lucy. I feel like I might be in a bad mood.
Did I do that?
No.
Hello.
Lucy?
Hi, yes. How are you?
Hey, it's Zach from Help My Unbelief. How are you doing?
Hi, Zach. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm actually doing okay. I was just explaining to them that I feel like I might be in a bad mood, which is weird that I'm telling you that, but like, it's fine.
Aww.
We'll get through it.
I'm so sorry.
I don't know if you've watched the show, but I'll just throw something at Larry and I'll be in a better mood.
We believe in transparency on this show.
Yeah.
Okay.
He only chose me because I am a huge target that he cannot miss.
And I know he can't run fast.
Right.
I won't run at all.
You two are hilarious.
His reaction times have slowed.
Yeah. It would take him 30 seconds to realize he'd been hit by anything. And then I'd already be out the door.
No, I'll realize it. It'd just take me 30 seconds to react.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, have you ever watched the show, Lucy?
So I've really only seen you on for the TikTok clips. I haven't looked you up on. Are you on YouTube? I'm assuming.
Yeah, we're on YouTube, Spotify. Okay. That's the video version, and then we have like audio only versions on. I mean, you can do Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio.
Every format out there.
Yeah, pretty much everyone out there. We're on there.
Okay.
So, but I didn't know the reason why I asked that. I asked this every show, and even if you were to say yes, I'm going to describe the show to you anyway, so I just probably need to stop asking that question, but it'll probably take me another 60 episodes before I realize that. So, but, so what this show is what's called the Help My Unbelief podcast. This show is designed, to be different than other Christian podcasts, that you probably listen to where they bring people that don't believe the same thing we do. We're not going to debate you today. I don't have any desire. I don't have it in me to debate you. I simply want to come as a listener today of your story.
Okay.
I think it's pretty obvious that people are leaving Christianity in high numbers, and we just kind of want to understand why that is.
Okay.
And you can say whatever you want to say. You're not going to surprise us or shock us. Trust me, we've heard it all.
Right.
And we're not going to, whatever you say, you have an open platform here. We're not going to beat you up. We're not going to refute you. We just really want truth and honesty, and we just want to know how you got to where you're at, and that's okay. It. So you won't get into debates. If it starts, we'll shut it down pretty quickly. So,
all right.
And at the end of the show, what we'll do something called the rounds. We'll go around the table, and we'll say something final and closing. And then because you're our guest, you will get the final word.
Oh, awesome. All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Let me introduce everybody. I forgot this last week. Let me introduce everybody so you can understand the voices. Got my executive producer, Mark, in studio today.
Hey, Lucy. How are you?
Hi, Mark.
Got my lovely wife, Angela.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Angela.
Coco's here, but he probably won't say anything. Say hi, Coco.
Hello.
He does hi, our Coco. Social media clips. And then I've got my beautiful and illustrious, tall but slow co-host Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Okay, he caught me off guard with the beautiful part. He just told me how ugly I was before we started this thing.
Yeah. I'm giving him mixed signals here, dude. I'm sorry.
I'm messing with you. I'm just happy to have you on the show, Lucy. Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
And then my name's Zach, and I'm the young, vibrant, tan, nice-haired looking one that you always see. And I don't know why, I'm already in a good mood. So there you go.
See, it didn't take long.
Yay, Zach. It's so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Okay, so I got a little bit from Jess, but you are an atheistic Satanist, correct?
Yes.
So I'm going to ask this. I know I've asked this before, but because everyone, I mean, even Christians, we all believe different things. But what is an atheistic Satanist to you?
So I am atheistic. I'm going to say non-theistic because I hold debate lives on TikTok and I always just kind of say non-theistic. So I'm sure I'll end up saying that, just a warning. But it's the same thing, you know. So to me, Satanism was basically, let me start over. I grew up Catholic. I went to Catholic grade school. I went to church on Sundays, Bible study on Wednesdays. I really, really, really enjoyed the sense of community, the friendships that I had within the church. So when I realized that I was an atheist, about 6 or so years ago, I really just kind of miss the sense of community. I mean, there's Facebook groups for atheism and things like that, but it's just not the same. So the reason I kind of gravitated towards Satanism about 3 years ago is because they have congregations, they do activities and things like that, and it really helped me understand a lot more and have the support that I missed in the church community. I mean, Satanism, it's basically just a spicy atheist. I mean, I don't worship an actual deity. I don't believe in a literal Satan. I don't believe in any higher power, period. I believe in myself. I believe in my fellow humans, and I believe in energy and things kind of just happening.
See, I think we had Vinny on. You guys remember Vinny? I think he said he was a spicy atheist before. That's hilarious. Yeah. I love when you guys describe it as that. You said something interesting to me before that I've never heard anyone say before. I just want you to describe why you said it that way. You said that when I realized I was an atheist. Do you believe you were an atheist even when you were, like, do you believe you've always been an atheist and you just realized you were, or did you not mean to say it that way?
Right. Oh, no. Yeah, no, I meant that. So what I mean by that is growing up, I kind of thought that I had to believe in something. My family, my dad's one of eight. They're very Irish Catholic. They're very devout in their belief system. So I kind of just figured that's what I have to do. So I actually just got this last night. It's funny. So growing up, looking back, now I see that I never truly believed. When I got to the age of like consciousness, if that makes sense, like realization of the world and how the world works and, you know, that everything is so much bigger than just little old me. I kind of realized that I don't have to believe in in anything necessarily. However, I still really wanted the idea of heaven and seeing my loved ones again and having an ultimate, you know, creator and father that loved me. And, you know, I just really wanted to be this good, you know, person who had these great morals and just kind of did everything I possibly could to, I mean, people do bad things, but, you know, to stay on the right track. And I thought that's what I had to be. So I was kind of forcing myself. However, I did believe to an extent, but now looking back, I can understand why I probably didn't believe, if that makes any sense.
So let me ask you a question. The thing that's ringing in my head right now is that, so you said you wanted to be a certain type of person. You still wanted to be a good person. You still wanted to live your life a certain way. What made you think that Satanism was a better avenue to do that rather than Christianity? What was the split there? What was the differences there where you're like, man, I could do this better as a Satanist rather than a Christian? Do you have some sort of religious trauma from the church, or did something happen that made you split from that?
So not really. When I graduated high school, all girls Catholic high school, I will admit today that I wanted to find a belief system that kind of was in like rebellion of Catholicism. I started practicing Wicca, and once I read the so Wicca didn't really work for me because, again, I never really truly believed in the deity part of it. However, rituals, spells, things like that were very personally, mentally freeing for me. I mean, I had done hexes on one of my abusers, and I had never felt so free after that. So I still, to this day, do kind of ritualistic things like Wiccan things, just for the mental aspect of it. I don't think it gets sent out into the world and does anything. So the reason that I really turned to Satanism and thought that I could still be a good, if not better, person was I read the Seven Tenets. I don't know if you're familiar with the Seven Tenets of the. I'm a part of the Satanic Temple.
I am familiar with them. I can't recite them. But yeah, I've read over them several times. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, if at any point you want me to tell you about them, I definitely can. But they're essentially just saying be a good person. You know, without the fear of burning somewhere for eternity. I personally don't think that the threat, well, let me not say threat, that's a little much. The idea of it, you know, if I'm not a good person, that means I deserve to go to hell. I, you know, in the tenets, it's, you know, respecting people's bodies for their bodies. Being a good person. And also a big part of Satanism, I will say this, is respecting people and you know, the golden rule, treating someone as they treat, but to an extent. I mean, if I treat someone good and, you know, eventually they start not being a good person towards me, I'm gonna return that, because I mean, I'm just not going to waste my time on trying. I've kind of gotten rid of the idea of killing with kindness. I mean, I definitely think that I am a kind person. I will do anything for anybody. But I mean, if you're going to F me over, I don't have any respect for you anymore.
You know, Pastor Gary talked about that concept. It's been a long time ago now, but like the whole idea of Christianity where we say like turn the other cheek, like mm-hmm. God did not mean for us to be pushovers. Like God does not want you to be a pushover and want you to just let people roll all over you. Like in any minute. And so in Christianity, I don't agree with that either, to where people, you know, think that Christians should be rolled all over and stuff like that. I think we should probably be a little bit more understanding than, you know, the average person, maybe a little more peace, but like, yeah, I don't think anybody should, you should just let people bully you. And I promise you, like I've told people this before, like if you ever say something about my wife, I'm going to turn your other cheek because the other side's going to be wore out. Like, and I'll ask for forgiveness later, but you're not going to talk about my wife. Like that's the one thing that I'm giving everybody the secrets, but I think you should defend your family and stuff like that. That's what a man's for, right? You should be defending your family. You know, you pick on my daughters, you got something coming, you know? So
I had a question for you, Lucy.
Yeah.
I heard you say, this is Mark. I heard you say that you put a hex on your abuser.
Yes.
Would you like to talk about that?
Sure. I could talk about that. What did you want to know?
Like the abuser or the hex?
Well, when we say abuser, are we speaking in general terms or are we speaking, is this something that happened in church? I heard that and I was a little, you know, I was interested.
Yeah, absolutely. So the word hex is very strong. It's a strong word.
Why?
I have done one other hex when I very first started practicing Wicca, because it's Wiccans believe in threefold, whatever you do comes back to you three, and they can come back to you. So this was a guy that I was dating. I will tell you guys, I have struggled with drug addiction for a little over 10 years. Was heavily on crystal meth at this point. I had moved in with this man. COVID had just happened. He was very, very, very narcissistic. And I mean, he's diagnosed narcissistic, so I'm not just throwing that term around. However, one thing led to another. Obviously, I got pregnant. At about 5 months pregnant, or I'm sorry, when I first found out I was pregnant, about 3 days after that, he immediately asked me to get an abortion. But about 3 days after that, he kicked me out of his house, abandoned me at a motel with no money, no charger, no clothes. And then at five, I moved in with a friend. And then at 5 months pregnant, he completely had stopped talking to me. Mm-hmm. So that right there is something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, going through a pregnancy alone, you know, going back and forth between should I keep this baby, should I do abortion, adoption, what, like I sure. I actually had an abortion scheduled, and thankfully that did not happen. That baby has been adopted since then. I had him up till he was 3 months old. And I, like I said, I was an addict, so things just were not, it was just not plausible for me to keep that child at that time.
Sure.
So putting me through that, I understand that it takes two to tango. I understand that. I also understand I was strung out. But I still to this day, even though this was 3 years ago, I've very much let this go. I will never fully let it go, though. I just can't fathom how a human could do that.
Yeah.
I mean,
was he a Christian?
I don't really think he ever even said anything about this. I wasn't a Satanist at this time, so I wasn't practicing anything at all.
Yeah.
So I don't hate anybody at all except for my mom's husband and that man. Man, I say lightly.
Lucy, let me ask you something. Did you get, as far as the addiction, you're beyond your own control. Did you Did you get in recovery? Did you work like the steps of NA or AA? I'm just wondering if you maybe formed your concept of God through that.
Okay. So this is actually a huge part of why I am a Satanist. So 3 years ago, I discovered the Satanic Temple. However, about a little over a year ago, I was told in rehab that they have a sober faction program. I had gone to AA, NA, and I had read the agnostic part of the big book. I truly, firmly, I will stand on this to the day I die. I truly believe that once I let go of the idea that I needed a higher power to get sober, I was able to get sober. This past year, I only have 4 months clean, but this past year, I have only relapsed twice, and both of those times were only for one day. So sober faction, I believe that I got myself sober. However, people in the sober faction community, they have meetings every single night on Zoom. It's absolutely amazing. We have a Discord. We have all that. The community has really, really helped me. And I'm living proof. And when I say drug addict, I was the worst of the worst. I mean,
we have lots of former drug addicts in this room.
One thing I wanted to say to you, Lucy, is I congratulations on getting sober. I see the battle is still on for you. I do want to tell you that I did use a higher power. Became hopeless. I've been sober 13 years with not a single drug lapse. Awesome. And I'm not trying elevate myself. What I'm trying to do is say that it worked for me. I appreciate what it is you're saying. That's really interesting. I really appreciate you sharing that with me, and congratulations. And I hope that you continue to fight that thing, because as you well know, that's just a miserable way to live.
I dropped the AA thing whenever I was like kind of struggling with the whole alcohol abuse thing. And I haven't had a drink in 6 years, by the way. But when I was struggling with the whole alcohol thing, I was kind of at that point where I was like, man, I don't think I can do this on my own. And one of my buddies put me in contact with like a sponsor on AA. And I talked to him, and that guy told me that I needed to escalate my drinking because I haven't hit rock bottom yet. That's literally what he told me. He told me to like start drinking more.
Well, you see the look on my wife's face over there?
Trust me. When he said that, my jaw hit the floor, and I was like, well, not going to AA.
I hate to say this, but he probably told you that because you hadn't completely surrendered at that point. And he was telling you, you probably need to go out there and get your butt kicked a little more until you're actually ready.
Because you weren't ready to let the control go.
You weren't ready to let
go. I still think it's dangerous to tell someone to drink more to hit rock bottom, though. When I was a single father and had kids in my possession. Like
I have. I've told people that their misery is 100% refundable. And if they're not done, they need to go. If they're not going to listen, then what am I here for?
Amen.
And they need to go out there and get some more.
I guess what you're saying is, like, you guys know what has to happen before you get sober. You know that. And so you know without doing that. But that didn't happen for me, though. I didn't hit rock bottom.
That's the same as coming to Christ. You have to come to the end of yourself before you can actually turn and read.
So let me ask you a question.
Give yourself to Christ.
In AA...
Right.
So I've been sober for 6 years now. Do you think my sober is like a fake sober, or do you think because I didn't have like...
The AA doesn't have... like listening to Lucy.
They don't have a corner of the market.
AA doesn't have a corner of the market.
It's not an end-all be. Okay.
It's not an end-all. It's just another path to a power greater than yourself. What Lucy is saying is it wasn't until she let go of the idea that she needed anything for her... Mm-hmm. That may be working. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I've never...
Lucy, as you can tell by this discussion, you are in the midst of company that has been there, done that.
My wife hasn't. She's like 14 or something. I mean, maybe even more than that at this point. She was on meth too.
Some people can just quit. People can just quit and walk away.
You're at 5 years now? Four.
Darcia's at four years, yeah.
You're at 4 years?
6 years, 6 years for
6 years of sobriety. Today.
Nice. Today.
Today.
Today's Garcia's sober day.
Today is sober. Yeah.
So welcome to the family, Lucy.
There you go.
So we've all been there. Lucy, how old are you?
I am 30.
You're
30.
What?
30.
Okay, you kind of cut out there, and it was like
she didn't cut out at all. Your brain probably cut out.
Okay.
So
That's possible.
Lucy, let me ask you a question, because I want to be honest with you about something. And I'm just going to be completely honest and say this just outright because of my own experience. Okay.
Yeah.
We have had a lot of unbelievers on here, people that have departed from what we believe in Christianity that were former Catholics, like probably more than half. Wouldn't you say, Larry?
Mm-hmm.
Like 50%. And okay. I grew up in a certain faction as well of Christianity that I won't say on here because it's also very popular, and I'd probably get crucified the minute I walk out here. It's kind of like PETA. You don't want to make the Baptist mad. Oh no, I said it. Anyway, so I grew up a certain way, and I didn't really connect well with it too. And in fact, I deconstructed my beliefs in a certain sense, not to the point where I deconstructed into atheism, but I deconstructed into where, you know what? I don't really think these guys have it right, because I read the Bible myself, and I'm experiencing God. The way I've experienced God is way different than what these people are showing me. And I even posted a video today because one of my good friends that's a Christian basically departed from me and told me that he... you know, wasn't going to be supporting me anymore. And I said basically that my show isn't for you. And I watched a bunch of these Christians growing up act differently than what they were telling me to do, right? Mm. And so I just want to say, with you guys rolling your eyes and shaking your head, it's incredibly difficult for me to, like, form a point and stay consistent here. I'm losing it constantly.
Did he just like narc us out?
Yeah.
Just no. Publicly?
I didn't know.
He's doing it to me. He's doing it to me. But anyway, the point I'm trying to say is, and then luckily I finally found Discovery Church, right? I walked into Discovery Church and I was like, oh, there's people like me that's experiencing God the same way that I am. I thought I was alone. You know, I thought I was alone for all these years. I vowed off church. And I started to develop a spiritual relationship with God. You know, that's where most people will probably deconstruct, get out and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what? I've experienced enough of God to know that you're real and I know you're there, but I just don't know how or why or how we got there. I'm going to continue a relationship with you. I'm just not going to do it around other people, because it seems like when I get around other people, that's where it gets bad. And then I find Discovery Church and I go, whoa, there's other people just like me. And I say this a lot, and I'll say it again. I don't care if I say it a lot. Everybody in this room can roll their eyes. I don't care.
I don't know where all this eye rolling comments
come from. in the beginning of the book of Revelation, Jesus talks about seven different churches. He writes a letter to, has John, sorry, write a letter to seven different churches. And there's only one church in those letters that he wrote that Jesus didn't have anything bad to say. And I think it's possible that if those letters are correct, that one out of seven churches is on a ratio basis is doing things the way that they're supposed to. And that's not a good number. That's not a good number. And so I think we need to be like trying to find the proper church that's doing it right. And if we're following God and if we're in spiritual congruence with God, then we will, you know, we'll know when we get there. Because trust me, I know that I'm here now. We knew the day we came in here, and you can ask my wife. I had vowed off church. I said, I'm never going to church. They'll never get my money. I'm never going to do this, never going to do that. And we walked in here and I knew it the minute, and we have been here for a few years now.
That's why God sent you here.
Yeah. And I still have a note on my phone where I prayed about it and I started Googling churches, and I have a heart by Discovery Church where God had told me to go to. Now I say all this because I didn't want you to think that I was saying that Catholics the wrong way and that you did it wrong. But I guess I said all that to ask you the question, do you think it's possible that there is a Christian faith out there that would fit how Lucy does things spiritually a little bit better? Do you think it's possible?
Well, I don't think that's possible just because I purely just don't believe in a God at all. I think some churches are better than others, obviously, but I don't think there would be a Christian church out there, a mosque, anything that would be a good fit for me just because I don't believe in God. I don't think that would help me. I don't think that would help me believe in a God.
Gotcha. Do you have any spiritual practices that you do to this day? Because I know you said you did a bunch of spiritual practices back then, but do you have any that you continue to do to this day, like meditation or anything like that?
So I do meditate. I have gone halfway through the Sober Faction has the 7 tenets, which is similar to the 12 steps. They have rituals in there and kind of questions that you would write in a workbook. But when I say rituals, I really just mean lighting some candles and incense, maybe having a statue just for like aesthetic purposes. I'm not invoking any spirits or asking any spirits, or I should say deities, to assist me in anything. It's kind of just more symbolic.
What's their intention behind that when they do that? Like, what's the intention behind lighting incense and putting statues there if we're not trying to invoke spirits? Like, the person that created that that tenet, what was the intention behind that creation of that step?
I am actually really not sure about that one. I just know that it is used as a metaphor.
Gotcha.
I mean, candle colors and things like that represent, like, for example, white candles represent purity and cleansing and things like that. So it's really just representations of what kind of, it's more like energy work. Sending energy out in instead of asking a deity. Per se.
Why are you trying to get sober? Why?
Why am I trying to get sober? Well, I have another child, a 5-year-old, and his father, who I've been with since I was 18, got sober about 4 years ago. He had purchased his own house. He's really doing amazing. So they always say, don't get sober for someone else. You need to get sober for yourself.
But you have to have a why though, right?
Well, my most current drug of choice was, leading me into a lot of unsavory things.
Yeah.
I'm just sick of living like I was living. I'm sick of wondering where I'm going to sleep tonight. I'm sick of wondering who I can ask for $20.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets old after a while.
Yeah, I bet it does.
I now that this past year I've actually lived sober, made it, you know, longer than a month or two, I can finally see that it's just so much better. I mean, I knew it would be better, but I didn't fully comprehend it because I had never really experienced it. I mean, I've been using substances since I was 12. I am the happiest. I'm not just saying this. I am the happiest that I have ever been, ever, ever. I couldn't tell you a problem that I have right. Well, my teeth are messed up. But my teeth hurt. But other than that, I don't have, I'm about to get off probation. I mean, I have a great relationship with my son and his father. We just recently got two more cats.
Oh, you're living there with him?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a long story. I just moved back in this past September.
So you get to have a relationship with your son. That's really cool. That's cool.
It's everything to me. I mean, I did not have custody of him from when he was 1 to 3. I wasn't really able to see him due to my drug addiction. And he is just, I love him. I get giddy just talking about it, because I just appreciate him and our relationship so much more. I want him to be able to see me sober. Because for a little bit there, I mean, he's five, so he's starting to remember things. And my most recent drug of choice was huffing, and I was huffing in front of him a few times, and he started to catch on to what I was doing. I'm assuming his grandmother, who does not like me, not his blood grandmother, but she told him I was a drug addict. So he had actually mentioned this. And I just kind of want to never allow him to see me like that again. I mean, I've already messed him up so much.
Yeah.
He deserves way more than that.
I want to tell you something from like my perspective, because I was an addict, but I was also on the other side where I raised a couple of girls to where the mother of those girls had departed for a few years to use meth. And I think the person that is addicted to the drugs at the time doesn't get to see the actual pain and hurt and suffering that it causes the kids, as much as the parent that is the sober one that raising them sees. And I kind of feel like I want to tell you what that looks like, and that'll help encourage you a little bit more to stay sober. There were times where my daughters were like 4 and 7 at the time, and they could not understand why their mom wasn't there. And I could not tell them, you know, I'm not about to bash their mom in front of them. And so I did not tell them, but I was the one that was left to explain why, you know, have to come up with excuses for the mom, why she wasn't there, and that why they haven't seen her in months, and that why we were going this long. And then I would go into the laundry room where they couldn't hear me, and I'd stick my head out the window to make sure they couldn't hear me. And I'd call her and I'd say, "You better get your crap together. Now these girls need you. You need to come home. You need to come and be in their life. You need to get this, you know, drop this drug." Because I mean, I remember my youngest had a picture. They acted like nothing was wrong, but everything was wrong. They kept a picture by their of their mom by her doorstep or by her bed, that she would keep every night, and just, I could tell she was just wishing she would come home, or she would come see them. Because sometimes it got to the point where sometimes she wouldn't even call them for months. Yeah. And it was really hard watching them girls do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And now only one of them really remembers what that time was like, but she remembers. But like, if you stop now, he probably wouldn't have a whole lot of, like you said, you messed him up. Like if you stop now and continue to stay sober from now on, the kid's not going to even remember. He's of the age where he won't even remember any of this stuff. He may have a few memories, but like, for example, whenever I was younger, like people always used to talk about how bad of a drug addict my dad was. But like, I'd never seen my dad do a drug in my life. And I'd be like, okay, like, why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me about are you just trying to start stuff? Like, I just didn't believe them. I'd be like, my dad seems like a pretty squared away individual. You guys seem like the messed ones. Like, he seems like he's going to work every day and trying to provide for his family. And you're talking about how he used to do drugs. Like, and it always didn't sit well with me. I'd never seen my dad do a drug in my life. And it didn't even really sound like the guy he was. Didn't even sound like him. It almost seemed like a lie. Because it just didn't seem like that's who he was. So you can definitely change the person that you are to where your kid would literally not believe that you were a drug addict before. That's how cool. That's you get another chance. You know what I mean? I think that's really cool.
Yes, especially as young as your child is. Unfortunately, when you make the change to come to the Lord in your latter 50s, your children are well old enough to remember.
It's just, the resentments are seated in.
Yeah.
Larry,
kind of hard hit.
In other words, Larry made some big mistakes later on in life, and
yeah,
and they're just going to be that way. They're going to remember that.
But they can. The good thing is they can see that the total change in my life since I came to the Lord has been dramatic and complete.
Do you feel like anything spiritual is going on, or do you feel like this is all just, we're all just here from science or whatever? Or do you believe like there's anything spiritual out there at all?
So when it comes to that, I purely just don't know. However, the one aspect of Christianity or any religion really is the idea of an afterlife. As far as atheists go, you know, they say there is no afterlife. I don't believe there is an afterlife. However, I do have thoughts that there might not necessarily be a heaven or a hell. I think there could be other realms. Do I think those realms are, you know, have a God in them? No. I believe in reincarnation. I think, you know, we may have to live our life a certain amount of times in order to accomplish something or something like that. Or people just get recycled. I mean, maybe people just get recycled.
You don't think that's like of a spiritual origin? Like, you don't think a spirit is required for that to happen?
Reincarnation, no, you're talking about, Zach?
Yeah.
Because that question came up in my head. Wait a minute. Isn't there a God that decides what you get to come back as?
I don't think so.
In reincarnation?
I don't think so.
Well, who controls the reincarnation?
I don't know.
Do I get to think about what I...
I think that's a Buddhist. That's primarily a Hindu. Or
I want to be a squirrel or an eagle.
But so what about, what is it about reincarnation that, like, our questions on that, like what, yeah, like the, all those questions we just asked, what?
So the reason, well, let me start with the reason that I think there could be other realms is because of things like dreams, astral projection, lucid dreaming, tripping on psychedelics. I feel as though I've seen, I know this isn't, you know, this isn't verifiable source evidence, but the videos that I've seen of young kids, 2, 3, that can say, there was one kid, for example, who was saying that he, well, he wasn't saying he was Princess Diana, but he was naming things that isn't really public knowledge.
Or the mom's brother. I've seen one where a kid was like saying that he was his mom's brother and saying things about that only that, yeah, that the brother would know and stuff. I've seen videos like that.
Yeah, videos like that. I mean, I just don't know how these kids would know these things. I just want to confirm that I don't necessarily believe in these things, but I do think about them. I don't think we have a soul. I don't think there is an afterlife.
Do you wish there was?
I wish there was an afterlife. I do not think there is a need for a God, however.
What if Christianity is true? Like, what if it is? What if we all wrap it up and it ends up being true? What then?
So my response to that would be, if Christianity is true and, you know, I pass away and get judged, I would just kind of ask God a lot of the questions that I have right now. And if I am judged, I could just ask for forgiveness at that point and, you know, say I was wrong. You know, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. However, I would absolutely demand the answers of things that make God look cruel.
But demand the answers of who?
When, you know, if Jesus and God are judging me on my, you know, if there's a judgment day.
Well, I'm confused in a little bit of, You bounced around enough that I'm questioning something simply for the fact that, you know, you were raised in Catholic school. I don't know. I've never been a Catholic or been involved in Catholicism, but it seems like a lot of the people that we talk to are. And I'm just wondering where we're going through that.
Oh, now I'm confused.
I'm a little older. I'm a little older, dude. So it's we changed trains of thoughts enough that I'm slightly off center with what you actually believe. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Let's go back to this. When you left Catholic school, you said that you chose something that openly defied what you were raised, right?
Yeah.
That was your whole goal, was really to go against everything that you were taught growing up.
When I was 19, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I remember that.
But you, too. Okay, yeah. Who didn't do that? Right. I mean, I got married 11 days after I turned 18, thinking I knew everything. One of the things that I heard you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm just trying to get the roller coaster to kind of straighten out just a little bit. Okay.
Yeah,
I know. I was trying to keep up with your thought process. I had to slow it down so I could get some of it. With along that line there, okay, you mentioned that you had started using drugs at 12.
I had started marijuana and alcohol at 12, yeah.
Okay. I wasn't quite that young, but I do remember the younger days there. It mm-hmm. kind of led me down a different train of thought of what I was being raised in. Mm-hmm. So that I'm just looking at all the little things that guided you to where you are now. You know what I'm saying? But when we start talking about God, oftentimes we compare God to humans, you know, the intelligence level of us. And to be honest, a lot of those thoughts are nowhere, you know, God's thoughts are nowhere near what our thoughts are.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to understand him is a challenge to begin with, but to demand knowledge from him sounds, I'm sorry, but it sounds a little arrogant. And even though, I'm just trying to say this as an old man, I've been there and I thought that I could do that too. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying it in judgmental. I'm saying it in, I've been there and done that as well. And I kind of went like, wow, I really hadn't thought about a 30-year-old being in that format, but I have a daughter that will be 30 this year, and she believes more along the lines of what you believe as far as the existence of God. And I'm wondering why your generation is adamant about not believing that a God even exists, when it's simple to me to all the bad things I did, I never doubted a God that God existed, because I could not explain, nor will I ever be able to explain, how the world in itself revolves around the sun.
I mean,
the galaxy in itself has enough answers that I can't comprehend. The ocean has enough questions that I can't comprehend, and critters I don't know anything about. You know what I mean? So there's a lot that is way beyond my comprehension level, and I don't question God because of it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think what you're speaking of in there, because I remember being in my 30s, and man's got some explaining to do. Look at all these hypocrites. Look at, you know, they do this in the name of God. Look what they're doing on the round side. It was never a thought process of mine is God's got some explaining to do. And I think it's an interesting thing we're seeing with the current generation where we are hearing, if I'm wrong and I go to heaven, then I'm going to need, he's got some explaining to do to me, right? I just don't, so I see what you're saying, Larry. And maybe you could talk about that, Lucy, at what was the impetus, what's brought you to that point where you feel like that God's got some explaining to do?
Okay, so I just feel as though God may do worse, more bad things than good. Don't mm-hmm. don't crucify me. No. However, I just think that not everything needs an answer. I understand that if there is a God, that my consciousness and intellect is not on that level whatsoever. I do understand that. However, I just firmly believe that everything should be questioned. Everything has knowledge. Everything has something to teach. Everything's a lesson. I can get down with that. However, I would need, and if God is all knowing, he already knows that I feel this way.
Sure he does.
That I would need an answer as to, you know, why is there a flood? How can we still sin if Jesus died for our sins? I have a lot of questions, mm-hmm. and I feel like an all knowing, all loving God would want to answer my questions. You know, when I pass and I'm being judged, I just can't see, you know, if my dad loves me, and you know, we, you know, there's little kids always ask, well, why is this? Well, why is that? And I just think that to get me to understand, he should have no problem explaining why things are the way they are.
Yeah, I get that. You know, and it's very interesting. That's biblical. I think God loves, who was it that wrestled with God all night?
Jacob.
I think God loves Moses wrestled with God. I think God loves people that want to know what's going on. Okay, I got to do that. Why? Why me? Why?
Right.
And so maybe it's possible, and I'm not saying it is, but maybe at some point in your life, you might keep your eye open to other avenues of being able to engage with God in that.
Like now?
Yeah.
Yeah, like
asking
now,
questions.
Instead of waiting for the end. Yeah. Because there's absolutely nothing wrong with questions. And I think that's where we've come as a society. It's so, we've become so polarized, and we talked about it earlier, that we can't ask questions. That we can't question the sense of something with each other if we're on separate ends of the spectrum. It immediately becomes, well, just because I told you so. And that doesn't help anybody. And,
yeah, I mean, I've done that several times. I've asked God to help grant me wisdom or help grant me understanding so that I can move forward from this part of my life that I don't get. What am I missing? I ask God. And that way it's not on my own thought, because I'm not the smartest or not the sharpest tool in the toolbox, right? Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm not the sharpest tool. So there's a lot of things that I don't grasp or understand. So I ask God now, you know, help me. Help me understand this.
So I will say that even when I was practicing Wicca, I still prayed. I still did ask those questions. I still asked if God could help me understand, not necessarily appear to me, but maybe show me a sign. Mm-hmm. I did that for years. And real quick, I just want to say that I I just want to go back to, I think the reason that my generation, like millennials, we'll just stick with millennials, are, you know, kind of being, turning to atheism a little bit more is because we are not, I'm trying to say this nice, not nicely, but like in the
diplomatically,
right word.
Diplomatically,
we're not, you know, we're okay with asking. We think the questions need to be asked. I feel like past generations may have not been so quick to question everything. I will say that every day I say this on my live all the time. I am always looking for education. I mean, it's not, these aren't real sources, but I mean, I'm a stay at home mom. When my things that I have to do for the day are done and I get them done pretty quick, I am on debate lives. I am looking at religious videos. Mm-hmm. I actually recently bought a Bible again. Mm-hmm. I'm reading that. I'm only on Exodus, so but I haven't read a Bible since high school. So I mean,
oh, that's very cool.
I'm reading the Bible
all the way through too. Get ready, because man, boys, some of the baguettes. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's hard to comprehend. But start here. Start in John. Get an understanding of what.
Definitely don't start in the Old Testament.
Or who Christ is before you go into the Old Testament. Yeah. Kind of work through the New Testament a little bit, and it'll give you understanding that you can grasp a whole lot more of what's happening in the Old Testament.
Why
and how it applies.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, guys, I just wanted to, interrupt. It's. We are now at the point of our show where we do the final rounds.
Okay.
And I think,
I'll just go first. Okay. Lucy, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you coming on today. I don't really know what to say here. I think you're in a spot right now where I feel like I'm just going to trust God that I can tell when people are gone. Spiritually, I have spiritual senses, I should say that. And you're not one of them. And so I still think there's a part of your journey, that you need to go into. And I'm just excited to see what that looks like. I just want to say that that I'm excited to see what you do with your son and your husband or your son's father. I have faith and I believe in you that you can stay sober from now on. And I believe in you that you can. You sound like you're very smart. You sound like you're well-to-do and you have good intentions. And so if anybody else says that they don't believe in you, just know that I do. And really, you can message me anytime you want to on the Help My Unbelief page. I'll see it, or on Instagram, and I'll see it. And I'll respond to you if you need someone to talk to. And I genuinely won't shove my beliefs down your throat. If you just need someone to talk to, I'll be there. And I know Jess would too. I know you've been talking to her. So, it's just good to feel this again. Sometimes I feel, a little checked out, but it's good to feel it from you. And I believe in you, sis. Keep going. Okay, Mark.
Oh, thanks for being on, Lucy. I feel like you're part of the family as far as human and recovery wise. I think it's cool. I wanted to say congratulations on the months that you have, and just tell you to keep on keeping on, girl. I do want to say a warning from my own experience. You know, you mentioned that probation was about to be up and that you're happier than you ever been. You know, I remember somebody telling me that one time, well, you're just floating on a pink cloud. Everything's going great, isn't it? It's like, yeah. And then that popped. But, you know, for me, not saying that's going to happen for you, but I just want you to be on extra guard when that probation comes off. Because usually when the thumb come, this is my experience. I can only speak from my experience. When the thumb came off of me, that's when I started to forget how bad it really was. And I didn't seem to have much of a problem, you know, when I had the man or somebody else on my back about it. It was easy for me to see, this is out of control. I'm underneath other people's thumbs. I don't like where I'm at. But it was when that pressure started coming off. So I just encourage you to keep going the direction, you know, just keep working towards your own sobriety. And it's wonderful that your child is getting to experience that from you. And you know, I think there's a lot of millennials that are in a quest. They're, you know, they call them truth seekers. My daughter was one of them, you know, and she went the new age route, and, you know, eventually she goes to church here with me, and that was just her path, you know, and I'm not sure what your path is, but it's going to be. But like you said, God stands outside of time and he sees you exactly as you are. I know you don't believe, but this is my concept. He sees you exactly as you are. You're right where you're supposed to be at this point in time. And I think that we're all in transition, because I remember being 30 and I remember having the satanic, now I was in my 20s, having the satanic Bible. I remember working witchcraft. I went through all of that because I came out of a denomination of a church that drove me as a young person. I had some real problems with. I couldn't understand a loving God that would say what they said I had to do. It didn't. The two things seemed incompatible. So therefore, I said, I'm throwing the whole thing away, because this is just about control. And, you know, for me, I followed that path for a while, and you know, drug abuse was a big part of that, because I, you know, I didn't, because of that hole that I walked away, I believe we're genetically encoded with just a piece that God made us, and he made a piece that only a relationship with him can fit inside of our genetic coding. All of us are empty, not completely empty. We're just not completely full. And so we're all in search of things, something to put in that hole. And I think that the whole mission here on earth is for us to finally realize what it is, a relationship and submission to our Father. That is the piece that needs to be plugged in. And once it is, then we have completeness. And I can certainly look in my life and say that when I was incomplete, when I was struggling, when I was miserable, I tried to put all kinds of things into that hole. Nothing fit. And, you know, just keep up the search. Keep your eyes open. I love that you've gotten the Bible and you're reading it. That's awesome. I love what Larry said. I would go to John. I would read John first, then go back and start reading Exodus. Otherwise, you're going to be going, geez, Louise. I mean, you keep reading the Old Testament. It's really a sad story about how God helped man, chose him to be his people, and man turned his back on God over and over and over and over again, and God's amazing unselfishness. But it's nice to have some context of Jesus and why all that had to happen to lead us to him. So anyway, you know, I mean, even if you're just reading it for evidence of the contrary, you know, because I remember doing that too. I remember reading the Bible saying, "Oh, I'm going to show how screwed up that God is," and reading it. And I found the evidence I was looking for. But you know, I trust the power of God as he reveals himself. And, you know, if he exists, then like you said, he knows right where you're at. And if your mind is open, then if he exists, if he is God, then you coming around and being a part, wanting a relationship with him will be something that will happen, because he's God, you know, and if your mind is open. So anyway, it was just really cool talking to you. I really appreciate it. And I'm just grateful you're around. Keep up the good work.
Lucy, I too want to say thank you for coming on. And when I'm speaking to somebody of your age, it's hard not to take the dad role. it's really hard, because I got a daughter your age. So actually, she's my youngest one. And I don't get to have those conversations with her any longer. So sometimes, you know, the dad part of me comes out. But I'm going to ask you about your relationship with your dad when you were little bitty. Okay. Well, you know, 3, 4, 5, trying to learn what life was all about, you know, as far as a 3, 4, 5-year-old can comprehend what life is about. Sometimes he was loving, and then sometimes he had to correct you, right?
Yeah.
And when he corrected you, it was mostly for your protection or your safety or, you know, teaching you how to interact. Are you the oldest or the youngest, or do you have siblings?
I am the youngest. I have one older brother.
How much older, just out of curiosity?
3 years.
Okay, see, mine are 40 and 38 and 29, so quite a bit of difference there. And by the time the youngest one was there, her interaction sometimes was inappropriate with the older ones. Like, she literally walked up at 2 years old and uppercut her sister in the nose as she was laying there watching TV, you know. So, you know, of course, you have to get onto her for that. You can't just let her keep going, right? Because that's wrong. That's not being nice or any form or fashion, right? So sometimes the dad part kind of comes out. And if I didn't try to offend you or mean to, it was more so like, wow, these are the conversations that I have with my daughter kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I typically read a verse. I want to go back to your dad. Sometimes we need to look at God like a dad. Okay. Mm-hmm. And C.S. Lewis kind of said it this way: a man can accept what Christ has done without knowing how it works. Indeed, he certainly won't know how it works until he's accepted it. Mm-hmm. I know. My Bible is actually turned right now to 1 Corinthians 2. And it says, I did this, 1 Corinthians 2:5. I did this so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Hmm. And in verse 9, it says, that is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no nor ear heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. In verse 12, it says, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so that we can know wonderful things God has freely given us. By giving us that, we're actually to ask God for understanding. And he's more than willing to do that. God has had a plan for us from the beginning of time. And as you read in the Old Testament, you'll see how that plan guided out. When Israel was small, it was like a small child when it was, you know, first formed, basically. He had to mm-hmm. guide them along. He had to change their diapers. He had to put them in positions where they learned. He had to, you know, guide them out of the trouble. And sometimes he had to let them stick their hand in the fire to find out the fire burned. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But if we ask him to work in our lives, that plan will come about, no matter how many mistakes we have made. God can still turn things around so that they will work out according to his plan. Our part is to surrender our lives to him and seek to follow his will as he reveals it to us. We can't have him reveal it to us if we're openly rebuking or rebuking, is that it? Openly rebuking everything about him. That's where we have to be really careful with the way that we kind of do things. But no matter what we did in our past, God still loves us, and he can work to restore us through his love. And again, I truthfully thank you for coming on. At this particular point,
sorry about that. It's now your turn. What do you have to say, Lucy? It's your chance to close this out.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say congratulations to all of you on your sobriety. I deal with, let me just say, theists all day long, that kind of don't always show their Christian love very well. So you guys were definitely a breath of fresh air. I really appreciate you guys willing to bring me on today. I will say that the more I have been reading the Bible, the more things kind of don't make sense to me, and I'm navigating through that. And I don't want to say I don't pray, because I do talk in my head to my deceased mother. So if there is an afterlife, I'm hoping that she could possibly be my messenger. However, I'm not a closed-minded person. I am looking for answers for everything. I'm trying to learn new things every day. And I tell people all the time that if something gives you hope and something makes you happy, in this instance, you know, God or, you know, spirituality, then do it. I mean, I am the first one to defend people that like pumpkin spice, because I mean, life is too cruel to not have the little joys of life. So if, you know, God, religion, spiritual, whatever, the Bible gives you hope, you know, makes your spirit feel better, then that's amazing. And I never want to take that away from anyone. However, I will continue in my life to search for answers. Today I can say I don't think I'll ever pray to God again or go to church. Not anytime soon. But yeah, I'm always looking for answers. I'm looking, I mean, I think everybody is just looking, you know, the best way to live their life. And, I am cautious. I'm sorry, I forget who it was saying about when I get off probation.
Right.
I do know that's a thing. But I am actually starting therapy again, and I think that will definitely help me.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have that as kind of like a safety net right now. But I just wanted to thank you guys so much. This was amazing. I've never done anything like this, so this was super cool. You guys were, you know, like I said, a breath of fresh air. Not all theists, you know, want to attack you. I just wanted to say thank you guys so much. I truly enjoyed this. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure having you.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching or listening all the way to the end. To be a guest on the show or to get a hold of us, please contact us at info@helpmyunbelief.org. And more importantly, make sure to check out new episodes every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Central.